It's time for JT the Brick.
It's a new day. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. It's a new mindset.
Jacoby Myers in motion. O'Connell takes the snap, throws it out to him. He's going to throw to the end zone. Touchdown, Devontae!
I love hearing that sound.
You know, I thought at the end of the year it was nice. Allegiant Stadium started to turn into a home field advantage. You could hear the roar of the crowd.
Well, to me, it's not just unconventional. It's the right way, and it's our way.
Vegas is the global hub of the Raider Nation. Now it's got to act that way every home game.
Raider Nation, as I always say, you know, you show up and we'll show out.
JT the Brick.
It's a real thing. It's a tangible thing. You get in the building and you feel it.
It's a war to track down Kansas City. I've always been a big fan of running the football.
Hand up to Zamir. Cuts to the right side. First down, 35. First 40. Down the 50. Near side, 40. 35, 30. And Zamir White might have just salted away a Raiders win.
I'm always looking for opportunities to compete, man. And this is a great one here.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT the Brick.
Yes, Raider Nation unite. It's a Friday. It's a Bucket of Modelo Fridays. JT from the studios of Lotus Broadcasting, where I guess we're having a spring cleaning today, which is nice. The whole company cleaning out desks and taking old computers and making donations. I drove up today, Bobby. It was incredible. It was like a garage sale here, which is smart, man. Give away stuff you don't need. A wife and I cleaned out the garage a couple of weeks ago because my folks are in town, and always nice to clean out. That's kind of what we're doing with our programming here. We're cleaning everything out and doing a new summer radio show coming up here on the greatest 10 games in Raider history. So that's going to kick off. We are prepping that. We prepare our show. See, I'm not fortunate enough to have six producers who wear costumes and talk and come up with all the topics and write the show. It's just me and Bobby, and we try to give you everything we got every day. Someday, we think every show's good because we give you energy, and we're always, always excited to be on the radio. But it is a slow time or two. It's slow on this station for some, not for me. Because sometimes you hear non-Raider shows, right? You hear the Rich Eisen show, which is very good, but he doesn't talk Raiders a lot. You hear some other shows, some gaming shows. They don't even mention the Raiders. I try to mention the Raiders every day in the monologue to get you thinking and motivated. When the season starts, I'm balls out. I don't shut down. I go bigger than anyone you know. This is May, June, July. And I'm not a guy that throws stuff up against the wall that see what sticks. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put out lame topics. I'm not going to do contests. I'm not giving away koozies. I'm just trying to get us to football season, right? And on Monday, as Bobby reminded me, it'll be my 28-year anniversary to the day. I started Memorial Day, 1996, right, Bobby? So we're sure that's year 28 coming up here, and I'll be on the radio on Sirius XM that day. I've never missed a Memorial Day. When I started on Memorial Day back in 96, that was my big break, and I said I'll always work Memorial Day, and I always have. I don't think I've ever taken a vacation or been out of market or off the microphone. So I will be here on Monday, even though Raider Nation Radio will not be. We won't be doing live shows, but you can catch me on another platform. And I hope everybody has a great Memorial Day weekend, obviously thinking about those who served this country, lost their lives, and what we do here on Memorial Day. And even if you're at a pool party, you'll think about it. Even if a DJ is shooting a water cannon at you as you're drinking a $1,200 bottle of vodka that costs that casino $60 or less, have a great Memorial Day and celebrate responsibly. So this is my favorite day of the year. Today is my son's birthday and my dad's birthday. Now, I have another son whose birthday is next month, and I'm not trying to play favorites, but it's kind of cool to have my son and my dad on the same day. My dad's in town. We had a nice little party at the house last night. Several of my friends showed up for a little soiree. It was very nice. We did have Grimaldi's Pizza. Bobby, if you're counting the plugs, this is what I do. I mentioned Bucket of Modelo's. We were having a few of them, and we had Grimaldi's Pizza for my dad's birthday, which is today. And we're going out to a nice dinner tonight on the Strip tonight, which my son and my dad are excited about. And my younger son will be there. He'll be the Uber driver. And my wife, my mom, it's going to be a nice night tonight. So cheers, everybody, to my dad, who's 86 years old. I would not be on the radio if it wasn't for my dad. My dad's my inspiration. He's my hero. He's the most important person in my life, along with my mom. And my dad is such a great sports fan. Last night, to drop name drop alert, one of the guys at my house was Kevin Higgins, the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Famer, played for the Padres and coaches here at UNLV Baseball. He's my neighbor, and my dad and Kevin, and Dana Wagner, Bobby, the newsman. Dana Wagner showed up to the house last night, and they sat there outside in my backyard brick, and they talked about the history of Mickey Mantle, Koufax, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and it was a really cool conversation, and it was all sports-related. And my best friend out here, Todd, came by, and he jumped in with sports, and we spoke sports last night. I did not pay attention to much of the basketball, a little bit of it, because my Knicks are eliminated. But we were able to kick back and talk a lot of sports last night, and that's what my weekend is going to be about, being with my dad and sons. We're playing golf tomorrow. We'll be up at Bears Best, hitting them around. Ooh, that's a tough course, man. Some tough golf courses in this town. I shot my lowest round of my life, 81, at Cascada the other day. We counted every shot. We had a caddy. I had witnesses. So I feel good about that. But Bears Best usually tears me up. They got black sand bunkers. Every hole seems 10 yards longer than what it says on the card. So we'll do that tomorrow, then head into Memorial Day weekend. As I was driving in, I was listening to another show on another network, and Daniel Jeremiah was on, and he's really good. NFL Network, Move the Sticks. He's their number one lead analyst when it comes to the draft, and he's also the analyst on radio for the Chargers. He has the Lincoln Kennedy role. It's Jason Horowitz and Lincoln Kennedy, and that's what Daniel Jeremiah does for the Chargers. And as he was being interviewed, he was talking about how great the Chargers are now with Jim Harbaugh. I said, I'm going to listen to this. What does he say? Because Jeremiah is good. He's really good. And he talked about bringing back Justin Herbert's former quarterback coach who Brandon Staley let go. That was a big move. Like, you think Harbaugh would bring in his own guy? Plus, Harbaugh is a quarterback coach. He is. He's a quarterback. He's a quarterback coach. And how the Chargers are just much more focused on training camp and all of that. So Daniel Jeremiah is legit. He's not a propaganda guy. But the Chargers use propaganda. This is a fact. I'm not making this up. And for those who are laughing and mocking me, going, JT, you are full propaganda for the Raiders. That would be fair. That'd be a fair criticism of me. Get a paycheck from the Raiders. I'm not here to say horrible things about the Raiders. I think we're very honest. I'm on the postgame right after the game. You can't say I'm not honest. I'm on a postgame show. But generally, as a season ticket holder, I want the Raiders to win. So I'm hearing about how great Harbaugh is as a coach. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty accurate. And I'm hearing how good that Justin Herbert's going to be again. I think he's great. I don't think Justin Herbert's good. I think he's great. I think he's elite. He's that good. And you could say, well, he doesn't beat the Raiders all the time. True. John Elway didn't beat the Raiders all the time. Not everybody beats the Raiders every time they play them. But the Chargers now, the propaganda state, where the Chargers go around and take radio hosts to lunch and give them fact gifts and come by the station. My buddies work at the station. I'm not making it up. They pull up with the Charger van, give away some koozies and hats. Okay, the Charger propaganda machine, oh, it's building. Oh, Harbaugh's living on the beach in a camper. You're not going to hear me rip Harbaugh a lot. Remember I came up with the nickname Boy Blunder for their former coach? I ripped him because I don't believe he deserved to be the head coach. And then they ended up firing him. Whoa, you won't hear me say that about Harbaugh. Harbaugh's a hell of a coach. Hell of a coach. But I don't think he's going to call a better game than Antonio Pierce, Patrick Graham, Luke Getsy, Marvin Lewis, former head coach, and Joe Philbin, former head coach. And that's the topic of the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue. 5 to 7, midnight to 2. Go there to watch sports. Go there for Memorial Day weekend. Have some burgers. Have some food. Play your video poker. Have your wings and watch sports. PTs, proud partner of our show. So the misnomer and what everybody's saying now is two things. We don't have a quarterback. Yes, we do. We have two. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. They're both pretty good, but they're not elite. So that's the one lazy take that I've been reminding you of. And the other one is the national media thinking the Raiders are going to get outcoached because Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, and Andy Reid are in the division. Now, is that fair? It's not to me because Antonio Pierce is a coach, head coach now, and he won a Super Bowl. Andy Reid never played in a Super Bowl. Like, Jim Harbaugh didn't walk away winning a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback. And we all know, and there's some good coaches out there. Believe me, there's good coaches in this sport overall. Sean Payton did win a Super Bowl. He's a high-end coach, but it is a train wreck rebuild in Denver. So one of the things that's going to anger me in advance heading to Costa Mesa this summer is people counting out our quarterbacks and our head coach. They are not going to believe that Antonio Pierce is going to have an advantage over Jim Harbaugh. Fair. Fair. I don't think he's going to have an advantage over Jim Harbaugh, but can he coach him up? Antonio Pierce last year put a defensive game plan in led by Patrick Graham that went into Kansas City and really dominated Kansas City. And we won that game defensively. Antonio Pierce got a lot of credit for that, man. He was all over SportsCenter. He was on NFL Network and all that. Now people forgot. Now people forgot. They just don't think we have the elite coaches and the elite quarterbacks to stack up. Last I looked, the Raiders came in second place in the AFC West with an interim head coach, a coach that got fired before that, a rookie quarterback in Aiden O'Connell who was just thrown in and didn't have the guy who coached him up in Josh McDaniels. Antonio Pierce didn't work every day with Aiden O'Connell. It was Josh McDaniels and Bo Hardigree. He did a pretty good job. And now we bring in Minshew Mania, where every time I turn my head, Minshew's beating the Raiders. Beats us in Oakland, beats us in Indy, beats us every time he plays. And the national media does not think we have a quarterback or a coach. I talked to the coach the other day. As I teased ahead and told you a little bit about it, he was about as fired up as any human being I've ever talked to about the Charger game. The Charger game already, and we're in May. So don't act like Antonio Pierce is going to be rolled over and destroyed by these coaches. They have more experience than him. Andy Reid's going to the Hall of Fame. Jim Harbaugh would have to buy a ticket to the Hall of Fame. He did a nice job with the 49ers. If he gets a Super Bowl, he might get there. And we all know, looking at this division, that Sean Payton is a very good coach, but he's not going to the Hall of Fame with one Super Bowl because you know how long they waited for Tom Flores to get to the Super Bowl? They made sure he was in a wheelchair when he got to the Super Bowl, Tom bleeping Flores. Don't start telling me that Sean Payton's a Hall of Famer. Don't tell me he's a Hall of Famer. If he turns around Denver and wins the Super Bowl, he's a lock. Tom Coughlin has won two Super Bowls for the Giants. He beat Bill Belichick in both of them and Tom Brady, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. You know how long they waited for Jimmy Johnson to get on the Hall of Fame? Long time. He just got in. So I'd like some of the people today, if you want a phone topic, I'd like you to know what you think the difference is going to be with our coaching this year. Very specific, good summertime radio topic. What are your expectations of our coaching staff? I'm pretty high on this coaching staff because of Marvin Lewis, who's been a really good head coach and been around a lot of good football in his life, and Joe Philbin. He was at the Raiders Gala. We spent a few minutes. Always respected him. He's kind of a hardcore football coach. Antonio Pierce, a former player, physical player, also a player's coach. I mean, you let everybody have cigars in your locker room and fire up the cigar party. You better believe you're a player coach. That's a good thing, but I think he knows how to turn it up when he needs to. And as I'm talking to you today in May of 2024, May 24th, my dad's birthday, my son's birthday. I'm going to say that a lot today. What do you think the advantage could be for us with coaching? I don't think I'm going to take a lot of phone calls with Raider fans saying I think we're going to be at a major disadvantage. If you do, I'm going to put you on the radio. I'm not going to cut you off. But what do you think about the coaching as we head into camp? What is your excitement about what these coaches can do? Because it really seems like the players are happy about this. I've talked to current players off the record that felt like they were walking on eggshells in the past. And I don't know. I don't normally mind that. This is a job, man. You're supposed to be uncomfortable at times at your job. You're supposed to be uncomfortable. And, you know, when you're making $13 million a year, $28 million a year, $4 million a year, it ain't supposed to be a camp where you walk in there and you show up late and you leave early and you eat whatever you want. You're a professional. I know that Antonio Pierce and his staff are going to demand hard work and professionalism. And they have the face of the franchise now, which is Max Crosby, who's first one in, last to leave. It sounds like Aiden O'Connell's doing the same thing. So coaching is my topic today in the first hour of the show, 702-365-9200. And how excited are you about this? Because we know that Antonio Pierce brought some juice with him. The only way he was going to be retained is he had to impress Mark Davis that he could be the future leader of the team. And he did that in a very short amount of time. Did that and put up the all-time franchise record with 63 against the Chargers. Beat the Chiefs on Christmas Day. Swept Denver. He won the second game, so he gets credit for that. And last I looked, again, don't we always beat the Chargers or at least split with them? So where is the coaching advantage? Do you believe there's a disadvantage? I like where this coaching staff is. 702-365-9200. As Adam says in the chat, Antonio Pierce brought in some great coaches to work with him. He did. I think that's a really big part of why Mark Davis is comfortable with this move, is that he's got a really good coach in Antonio Pierce who's gaining experience. But there's a lot of knowledge in that room, and there's always been a lot of knowledge around the Raider organization. Remember when Al Davis was hired as the coach, he was the youngest coach. John Gruden was hired as the coach the first time around, the youngest coach on that day in NFL history. And Antonio Pierce is a young man, still to this day, not a lot of head coaching experience, but as a former player and a leader, he's got tremendous leadership ability. So that's one of the things I want to get in today as we open up the show. And that's about it, because I can sit here and tell you that guys look great in shorts and tank tops. I can go tell you they were great. They won the battle of the microphone. One guy did. Let's hear from Michael Mayer. I've been waiting to play this all week. Michael Mayer learning the new 12 personnel offense is a big deal because he wants to stay on the field. He wants to play. He doesn't want to come off the field because Brock Bowers shouldn't be coming off the field. How does he like the system?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's a little bit of that to where I'm still learning this offense, you know. So I don't know exactly how it's going to fit into the offense, but we're putting a lot of things in right now. We're running a lot of stuff out there. Brock's been great so far. He's been a great dude, eager to learn. So it's been great. We got a great tight end room. We got a lot of fun tight ends, and we got a great tight end coach too.
I agree with that. The tight end room is very young and very good and has a tremendous ceiling. That's a term we use in sports. High upside ceiling for the tight end room. And you tell me by the tone of his voice, here's Michael Mayer talking about the addition of Brock Bowers, who plays the same position.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they drafted me last year, so I just got to come here, keep my head down, keep working hard, try to win as many games as possible, man. I mean, that's totally out of my control, so I'm here to play ball.
Yeah, he's here. I love that. I love that because he's there. And the Raiders reached out to him during the draft when obviously Brock Bowers was not supposed to get past 10, and the Jets in the draft, he dropped to the Raiders, and the Raiders made Michael Mayer aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a whole new coaching staff coming in, too, so that was huge for me. You know, I was just kind of getting to know them, getting to learn the offense, getting to know their personalities, things like that, and then that happened. So, yeah, it was good. It was good to hear from them.
So I like that. I like the communication and transparency of what's happening. Luke Getsy, Antonio Pierce, he calls him Big Mike, and it seems like Big Mike's pretty happy. A lot of guys wouldn't handle that well. You just drafted me as your tight end a year before. You traded up to get me. Now you're bringing in a guy who might take away 70 balls from me, right? 60 balls from me. Big Mike seems like he's fine with it because he knows he's going to be a big part of what they're trying to do here, the focus of the offense overall. Quarterback competition. Here's Michael Mayer knowing he's going to be asked this question throughout camp.
Process, but what does the quarterback room look like? The guys are competing for the job. And
yeah, no, everybody's competing right now. Everybody looks great. Gardner's been throwing me balls. Aiden, obviously. They both look good, man. It's going to be a good competition. I'm really excited for both of them. I'm really happy for both of them.
It's Q Myers, our guy, asking the question there. Great. And one last one from Michael Mayer here on having two young potential superstars at the tight end position. That's very unique. Most teams can't say that.
How are you going to stop them? You know, Brock has a lot of speed. I've gotten a little bit faster, and I think there's a ton of things. Number one, in the run game that Brock will be able to help me out with, too, blocking. But then number two, who's going to guard both of us? If you put a backer here, put a small safety here, like, you know, I'm a big body. Brock's a big body, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
I love what he's saying. I really do. Can't wait to interview him again, get him on here. I love his energy and what Big Michael Mayer is saying here. Very aggressively positive about having someone come in and play the same position. That's a good thing. You know, David Kasper and Raymond Chester played together. You know, sometimes you have two tight ends that could dominate a game. I've always been honest with you. I've been known to exaggerate, but I've never lied to you. And I've told you, I'm not a huge fan of 12 personnel. I'm not. I'm not a big fan of two tight ends. I'm not a big fan of a fullback. Every time the Raiders the last 4 years brought in a fullback, and there's been some good ones here. There's been some good fullbacks here. Every time the Raiders brought in a fullback before this regime took over, everyone in the upper deck said, run. Here's a run right up the middle. Here's a run with the fullback right up the middle. We got to be done with this, man. We got to be done with this. Luke Getsy has to have an elaborate scheme of misdirection. How come Kansas City runs misdirection at us twice a year? We can't figure it out. We finally figured it out. But for a decade, or at least Andy Reid being there, one player starts going this way. The other player goes that way. The Raiders look around going, what the hell's going on? And it's Kelsey for a 30-yard gain. Why can't we do that? I'm looking at you, Raider Nation. Why don't we do this? I got an unbelievable idea. Unbelievable idea. Why don't we go back and look at the last 10 games of Travis Kelsey? Tell me if this is fair. Let's take the last 10 games of Travis Kelsey versus the Las Vegas and Oakland Raiders. Let's chart every play he ran, every route, and copy it and run the exact bleeping plays in Henderson that Kelsey ran. How about we start with that? Okay, then we do the two tight ends, motion, Devontae, this or that. How about we take the Kelsey last 10 games where we put him in the Hall of Fame? He's in the Hall of Fame. Him and LaDainian Tomlinson are the two greatest players I've ever seen against the Oakland Raiders. Not even close. It's LaDainian Tomlinson and Travis Kelsey. Let's take the Kelsey playbook. I'll take it down to Xerox. I'll pay for it. Let's put it down in the meeting room and run the Kelsey plays. I think it'll work great. Now, you think I'm lying. You think I'm exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. Those plays work. And go run them. Because we got big Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. And Brock Bowers was a lot better than Travis Kelsey by a billion light speed in college. No one even heard Travis Kelsey's name in college. Who the hell was Travis Kelsey? You mean his brother Jason? No, I mean Travis Kelsey, the one who now dates Taylor Swift. Okay? When he came out of college, he wasn't Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is arguably, I think it's true, the greatest college tight end of all time. Two national championships, two Mackey Awards. Run the Kelsey plays to him. I bet you they work. I bet you they work perfectly. On top of everything else that Luke Getsy's going to run in there. I think that's a pretty good monologue, man. 22 minutes. Format for me is do 22 minutes, open up the phone, see if someone want to challenge me, talk to me, question me, agree with me, and then get the hell out of here and drink a bucket of Modelo's with my dad on his 86th birthday today and have a great day. So I'm rolling. I got a great day already. I won the day. Let's hear from the Raider Nation and get going here. Also, some sound coming up from Thayer Mumford. I was able to hang out with him at the golf course the other day. We have sound from his press conference. I want to tell you more of that if you didn't catch it yesterday. And we'll get ready for what should be a great week next week. And we're counting down a Raiders training camp in Costa Mesa. We don't have any details yet. I'm sure it's going to be five-star. Five-star from the Raiders as we head out to Costa Mesa. At some point, I love the preseason schedule. I get to go to Minnesota, play in Minnesota in the summertime. I won't go to Minnesota in the winter. I won't go near the place. Summer, it should be beautiful. And then we get the Niners and the Cowboys at home. Wow. Hopefully that isn't a bunch of guys in shorts on the sidelines drinking water. I want to see the Raiders suit up the starters against the 49ers and the Cowboys. Because we got to get ready for the Charger game. Charger game is going to be big. It's going to be like a scene out of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome when you take a look at the freeway surrounding L.A. and you see a whole bunch of caravans coming with Raider flags descending down near Inglewood in the hood, always up to no good. We're going to take over Inglewood from the depths of their deepest parking lot with Raider parties galore, Raider flags everywhere. Charger fans running to the freeways, selling their tickets as they get on the ramp to leave. And we're going to have a Raider party, but you got to win the game. Got to win the game. Raider fans don't care as much about tailgates. They care about winning. We got to win at the Charger game. A win against the Chargers would really set the tone for one hell of a year. 702-365-9200. Who's going to surprise me on a Friday with a ripping phone call? Something Raider Nation ready to roll. Because I'm ready to roll today. Bobby's behind the glass here, but we don't have glass. He's just right here. He's got a big weekend lined up, too. Man, the last Last 10 days, I saw the Rolling Stones and Pearl Jam, which I'm excited about, too. Some music's starting to crank. Bobby's playing all the music today. That's all I got. I didn't book any guests. Got Howard Balzer next hour on the legacy of Jim Otto. Jim Otto passed away, and we covered his life this week, I think, pretty good and extensively. A lot of that content is up at Raiders.com. And Howard Balzer will come in and tell you about Otto's career and legacy, not only with the Raiders, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame. JT on a Friday on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Yeah, Aiden is mentally tough. I said this last year. I said Aiden has a certain thing mentally where he blocks out outside noise. He doesn't worry about it. I mean, I'm sure he reads like we all do. But when he comes to work, he's focused. He's prepared. He studies. He puts the time in. There's been conversations that we've had that I've seen him grow in this short period of time in the offseason. I'm really excited to see Aiden as we go through OTAs, mini camps, and training camp.
It's Antonio Pierce on the upside of Aiden O'Connell, where it seems like the coach is pulling for him. He should help them get a job. Turn it up. The Deadering Town, Dead and Company. I'm going June 15th. Some of the video's incredible. Matter of fact, one of my great friends, Deacon's going tonight, and he can't wait to go. A lot of friends who are coming in to see Dead and Company. I have one rule with Dead and Company. I want a good show. I want good energy. I want to have upbeat Bobby, not quiet Bobby. Let's rip it up. So Dead and Company playing here at the Sphere, which is great. We're supposed to catch up with Johnny Katz, our entertainment reporter, but he's in Italy. He's on a little vacation, so we'll have him on next week. And next week, we'll get closer to the NBA Finals. Bobby Celtics played last night, no problem, against Indiana. Indiana should have won game one. We would have had a series. Boston blew them out last night, so I think Boston will win in five. And not that Boston is a all-time team. This isn't Bird Celtics. This isn't Paul Pierce, Garnett. They're very good. Jason Tatum's an all-time player. But the level of competition that got here to the playoffs and now to the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics are highly superior than those teams, the Knicks, Indiana. In the Western Conference, it's going to be interesting to see if Minnesota drops another game to Dallas, because not a lot of people thought Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic were going to go to the NBA Finals. Thought they'd be a fun team to watch, but they are overachieving. Mark Cuban is loving all of that. Hey, congratulations. Paul Gutierrez reported it first. Adam Schefter picked up on it. Max Crosby gets a $6 million raise from the Raiders. It's a rework deal, which is great. The three-time Pro Bowler gets a raise for the upcoming season without adding any years to his contract. As Paul Gutierrez had that and Adam Schefter put it out there, the Raiders are also moving $1.2 million from his 2026 salary into 2025. Sources said, and look, Max deserves to get whatever he can get. You want to talk about a player who deserves the super max? No pun intended, it's Max Crosby. And Max recently did a contract extension, which was generational wealth, and he was real happy signing that deal, and deals change in football. If you outperform, Crosby turns 27 in August, was due to have a base salary of $19 million, $21 million, and $21.3 million for the next three seasons, and now got a little bit of an upgrade on that. So that's great for Max Crosby. He's a throwback. He could play in any era, and he deserves whatever he can get. Congratulations to Mad Max. 702-365-9200. Jason in Vegas on 920. Start us off, Jason.
Okay, so I'm going to come at you with no disrespect. Mm-hmm. I have mad respect for you. I've been listening to you. But you putting Brock Bowers as one of the best tight ends coming out of college is delusional.
All time.
I'm going to use two of the greatest mm-hmm. tight ends that I've ever seen. Okay. Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez, who were dual sports athletes mm-hmm. playing basketball and football. And Tony Gonzalez was a Hall of Famer, and Antonio Gates would be following right behind
him. And Brock
him.
Bowers and was yet, better than both of them in college. So where's the argument? I'm not saying Bowers is going to be better and get a gold jacket.
He didn't play one snap in the NFL. Let him get to the NFL first and see how good he is.
No, I'm doing the radio show today, Jason. The show's live today. I can't wait for 4 years and talk about Brock Bowers being good. I'm saying he was the greatest college tight end of all time, better than Antonio Gates, better than Tony Gonzalez. Where's the pushback?
How could it be when he's not a dual athlete, number one, which means he was only a one athlete sports person, and which means athletically he wasn't better than neither one of them. If you think about that.
I'm not saying he was a better athlete. I'm saying he had a better college career playing football than Tony Gonzalez and John Mackey and Mike Ditka and Todd Christensen and everyone else. He comes in as the all-time best. That's all I thought I said.
Okay. Well, like I said, I kind of disagree with you, but have a good day.
Yeah, I have no problem with you disagreeing with me. At least you called in. I mean, I got a fistful of 50s here in front of me, and everyone's taking the day off. I could have took the day off today. It's my dad's birthday. I'm here. Talking to Raider fans. I just got cracked by the first guy. So what the theory of that phone call was Brock Bowers didn't play basketball for the University of Georgia, so he's not the greatest football tight end of all time? That makes no sense to me. All I said is Bowers comes in with the greatest trophy room in the history of college tight ends. Fact. Rob Gronkowski at Arizona? Did you ever hear who Rob Gronkowski was until the draft and the Patriots got him and he's from Buffalo? And then look. I'm not saying Brock Bowers is going to have a better career than Gronkowski, but on paper, he comes in battle-tested on one of the greatest teams to ever play. You know, Georgia was very close to a three-peat with him. Very close to a three-peat. You look at what Georgia was able to accomplish with him, and he was their best player. 702-365-9200. And with this two tight end set and what they're going to try to do, 12 personnel, from everyone I've talked to in the Raiders and just knowing football for my whole life being a fan, sometimes it could be very rudimentary, it could be very boring, 12 personnel. It's used to run behind bigger tight ends who can block like offensive linemen and run to one side with power, right? So you have your loaded offensive line, your right tackle, you have your tight end outside leading the way blocking to a runner. And then you're able to do some cool things in the passing game. But most organizations in the history of the NFL, when they run 12 personnel and a two tight end set, never do it out of a strength. They kind of do it out of a weakness. They run it because they want extra blocking and they want to run the football. That can't just happen here. Here, they got to run this 12 personnel and disguise it and then flex out of it into some unique routes and schemes. And I think that's what's going to be expected out of Luke Getsy. I don't think Luke Getsy is going to come in here and run the traditional 12 personnel. I think he's going to come in here and really try to get it into the lab and get it rolling. And I think they're doing that already because of the intensity that I told you. Antonio Pierce wants this squad to be ready for the Charger game. This isn't, hey, man, let's play our first three or four games, find a rhythm, and then we'll start knocking doors down and kicking ass. They can't afford to do that this year. They open up at L.A. and at Baltimore. If this 12 personnel is going to work, it has to work the first 2 weeks. And don't tell me guys are jumping off sides, they're confused, they don't understand it. No, they're running it today. They ran it yesterday. They're in meetings. It's in their playbook. The playbook's going to expand. They're going to run it. Now, here's the interesting thing about preseason football. You know, we've been all used to hearing now, well, we don't want to show anybody anything in the preseason. All right. Well, let's play the guys at least and not run the exotic stuff that we're going to break out against the Chargers in Baltimore. You run that in Henderson, and you run those exotic plays and all those motion plays and how you're going to do it. But when there's preseason, if you want to beat the Chargers, don't you have to have Aiden O'Connell under center at Minnesota with Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer there the first game, playing the first quarter? I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not privy to any of that information. I would hope that those guys play and they find some comfort in running this offense early so it's clicking by the time we get to L.A. against the Chargers. Michael's in Los Angeles. He's on the Raiders mobile app. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
First time calling in. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to vehemently disagree with that last caller. I don't know what he was thinking. Brock Bowers is easily the best tight end coming out of college in the history of the NFL. I mean, look at his resume. Like you said, he was an All-American all 3 years.
Yep.
Time Mackey Award winner. I can't even think of a tight end that comes close to his resume. So I just wanted to completely agree with you and completely disagree with the previous caller. That's all I got.
Okay. I don't disagree with the other caller about Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez being the two greatest of all time. but I think Bowers was better. He's more accomplished in college. And they thought if you played multiple positions, that gave you an edge over Bowers. When I interviewed Bowers and asked him about his youth and what sports he played, I think he said soccer. I don't recall, and I could go back in the interview if he played baseball. But he's a gifted athlete. I mean, the way that guy runs and the way he catches the ball behind the line of scrimmage. You know, I felt bad. There was some post-game shows I did over my, you know, the whole career of Derek Carr. 9 years of covering Derek Carr, who was pretty good. He was a really good quarterback. It was a pleasure to cover Derek's career. And the only time I ever blew a gasket was when Derek checked down on third or fourth down. That was the only time I ever lost my mind. And I'm not going to do it now with Brock Bowers. If they want to check down to Brock Bowers, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I think he's one of the only players I've seen. Also, Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow was the type of guy when he had his big plus 100-plus receptions. Well, you could check down to him before the first down marker, and he can get you first down. But he's supposed to do that. He's a slot receiver. Bowers looks completely different. You can check down to Bowers. So, Bowers, follow me here. If you're looking on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, Bowers could sit there and sell the block. And he's going to block. He's going to chip. He's going to block. And then the pocket's going to break down. And Aiden or Gardner Minshew are going to be trying to get out of trouble. And they're going to see Brock Bowers 3 yards away and just check down to him. And he's going to go for 30. Not every play, but he's going to do it. And that's what I'm really encouraged about. We were very predictable on third down. Wow. I was just so disappointed in Josh McDaniels' play calling with such a brilliant history of play calling. And don't tell me he had Brady. Stop. He called the plays for Brady. They were really good plays. But what Brady did was Brady was able to look off the double tight end coverage or the linebacker. Brady was able to see when the play was called in, if it wasn't the right one, and switch out of a few and throw to the open man. What was the legacy of Tom Brady? And Bobby knows this. He watched every game. Bobby, he always threw to someone who was wide open. He was always throwing to Brady when he got to the line of scrimmage and looked at the defense and looked over and saw where the safety was. If the safety was 1 foot, 1 foot, 12 inches, where he wasn't on film when Brady broke the film down, he made that correction with his eyes, eye contact with players, and threw to guys who were open because they were on the same page.
Well, that's the key. That's what made Brady Brady, is the fact that he could sit there and look at the defense, and within about a second or two, he knew enough, okay, this guy's going here, this guy's cutting in there, and he knew where he knew that
exactly
defense.
Where to go.
He's seen all these defenses before. Yeah. He just one. He can give a look to Gronk. He doesn't have to say anything.
Right.
He just give him a look. He can do a 4 yard cut in. Boom.
Yes, and that's the best way of saying it. The eye contact that Brady had with Gronk, and Edelman, and Amendola, and Welker, and Randy Moss they ran their plays to perfection in the New England Patriot organization. Right, they ran it to perfection at practice. So when the games came around, it was so perfect that it ripped apart the other team. The Raiders aren't there yet. The Raiders don't have that ability yet under Luke Getsy. He's never called a Raider game. With Aiden O'Connell, he's never had Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer together. That's going to take some time. But the concept should be pretty buttoned up. The concepts of what they're going to run should really be ready to roll, you know, before camp starts. And then as camp goes and they have breakdowns of film after practice, they should be really able to tighten it up. Greg in Sacramento, appreciate you listening on the mobile app. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, JT, brother. I just want to say two things to start off. One, I want to say happy Memorial Weekend to the entire Raider Nation. I grew up in a military family, a very Tully brat, born in Turkey. Many military bases, all in my family, everyone, Navy, Army, Air Force. So I want to salute to all them because they're the ones that are putting their lives on the line so that we are able to talk about football, that we're able to enjoy the sport that we love. So I wanted to say that first and foremost. Second of all, happy birthday to your father and your son,
Thank
JT.
You.
You know, we love you in Raider Nation. We appreciate everything you do and how you always keep us fired up. And straight to the topic, first and foremost, you know, I don't try to go after my Raider guys, but, you know, I think what you laid out was was perfect. You never said that Bowers was going to be a Hall of Famer in the NFL. You're just saying it's a fact that the awards that he was able to receive and being a two-time champion, no other tight end has ever done that. So let's just call it what it is. Antonio Gates and Gonzalez and Kelsey and all these guys, they turned into that once they got into the NFL after many years. So let's just you know, let's make sure that we're listening to the questions out there, Raider Nation, when they're put out there. But another thing, I'm super excited about the coaching staff that Tommy T and AP have put together with Marvin Lewis and Philbin, two good head coaches that just bring in more strength to not only help the team, but also to help AP and his maturity as a coach. And with the two tight ends, you know what, JT, I know I'm only 38 years old. You've seen more two tight end sets than me.
Yep.
I've only seen it successfully with Tom Brady, with Gronk, and I forgot his
name. Aaron Hernandez.
Hernandez, correct. Yep. So that's the only time that I ever seen it work. So I'm a little skeptical, but I am confident in AP and Tommy T and Patrick Graham and the whole staff. I just got to see what Getsy does because, like I said, I'm the same like you. I mean, even in high school football, but I do not like the 12 personnel myself personally. Mm-hmm. We do have the weapons, and he did not have these weapons when he was on the Bears coaching, so I'm still going to just stay on the fence till now.
Okay.
I'm confident in the defense, but, yeah, I'm just looking forward to see. It, the way you laid out, JT, is the right way. You should be able, and I always thought the same thing. You're watching Kelce every week. You watch even Antonio Gates when we used to play him. It seemed like they always could make plays to get them open. And even last year with Josh McDaniels, I was the same way. I was definitely disappointed because I thought that would be having a Michael Mayer. He would be able to get them out, you know, involved more. But chemistry is everything. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. In O'Connell, I'm really.
Okay, you know, we're going to stop it there. I gotta run, my friend. Appreciate the call. Excellent phone call. I can't do a whole preseason call there, but you made a lot of good points. Really good points on this system and what's going to happen here. I like whatever they do if it's efficient. I don't care if they throw it on every play, run it on every play. Just make sure it's efficient and have an advantage. And if you have the advantage, take advantage of it. And with Bowers and Michael Mayer and Devontae, let me say this before we come back. If Devontae, Michael Mayer, and Brock Bowers are on the field at the same time with Jacoby Myers, the Raiders should have an advantage if they can hold the line of scrimmage. Not dominate the line of scrimmage, hold it. They should have an advantage. Want to thank our friends from Boyd Gaming. Locals, locals, locals. What a job Boyd Gaming does throughout Las Vegas as our proud partner on Raider Nation Radio.
Jaylen Brown moving to his left. McDermott slows him down. Shot clock down to three. How fitting would this be for Jaylen to finish his perfect night with a three? Woo-hoo!
Man, I put the ketchup on the french fries.
And Jaylen drops 40 in game two.
Jaylen Brown had 40 for the Celtics. That's a hell of a playoff performance in any era. So we get a chance to see the Celtics. And now tonight's a really good game. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, we'll see what they're able to do. I want to just, before we get out to the call, I want to play this Barkley. This is getting really interesting. The biggest story in media, will TNT lose basketball? So that means Ernie Johnson, Shaq, Kenny the Jet, Barkley are free agents. Or they're going to have to move around and pair up somewhere else or go independent, do something, kind of what Pat McAfee did with ESPN and YouTube. I don't know how complicated it is. I'm not a TV executive. But Barkley is not happy. This was more from his conversation, I believe, with Dan Patrick.
Morale sucks, plain and simple. You know, I just feel so bad for the people I work with, Dan. You know, these people have families, and I just really feel bad for them right now. You know, these people I work with, they've screwed this thing up clearly, and we don't have zero idea what's going to happen. I don't feel good, I'm not going to lie, especially when they came out yesterday and said we bought college football. I was like, well, damn, they could have used that money. They're by the NBA. We've never had college football, never been involved with college football. And I'm like, wait a minute. Shouldn't we be spending every dime we got to keep the NBA? So morale sucks, to be honest with you, Dan.
Yeah, that's a tough spot for Barkley. He's going to get a raise most likely if he gets going there. Also, Dak Prescott. I'm going to get into that next hour. Could Dak Prescott be the future quarterback of the Raiders? A lot of people are thinking it's a possibility if he doesn't get an extension with Dallas.
I don't play for money. Never have, never cared for it, to be honest with you. Would give it up to play this game. So I allow that to the business people to say what it's worth, what they're supposed to give a quarterback of my play, a person of my play, leader of my play, I guess you can say, and for me, it's about, as I said, control. I can control and handle that part, and the rest will take care of itself.
Dak Prescott did not look good in the big playoff game against Jordan Love in Green Bay. He didn't. He shouldn't get a raise after that performance. He shouldn't. But he could be the quarterback down the road here if these two guys don't distinguish themselves. I hope one of them does. JT in Salt Lake City. Thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yep, thank you.
Hey, I want to thank you for, well, first of all, I am so fired up for this year. I've been a Raider fan my whole life, never been so fired up. I think the coaching staff, AP, amazing. The players, amazing. And I think that they are nationally not getting recognized. And so I want Raider Nation to go buy their tickets now, because the prices are only going to go up once they start seeing what this team can do. I have such a great feeling for it. I got to say, your gladiator comment yesterday about AP going to L.A. and the that was great. Mm-hmm. And then the Mad Max on the freeway. It's just, I'm so excited. Good. I'm really pumped up about it.
Good. Hope to see you out at a bunch of games. And hopefully you come to some of the Legion and follow the team on the road.
No, definitely. I got my Miami tickets yesterday.
Good. Excellent. Good to hear from you, man. Have a great weekend. I'll be back for one more hour. Last hour of the week. We're off on Monday for Memorial Day. That is my 28-year anniversary on the radio. I'll be on Sirius XM 82 from 9 a.m. to noon. Got my parents still in town here till about next Wednesday. And tonight I'm going to celebrate my dad and my son's birthday. Same day, May 24th, special day for my family and I. I want to thank all of our proud partners, as I do every hour on Friday, for all the continued work they do with us. And we just landed a big one. Another big one, and I couldn't do it without you, our fans and our listeners and those who stream us every day. And my buddies on YouTube, they're all right there. Fabian's there. You look at all your internet friends. Raider Paul's there. Watts Raider, Adam Sweeney's there. You can all, you know, Jin Slinger's there on YouTube. These are people that understand you can get the show live in your living room, live on your phone. Get it on the YouTube, but you got to subscribe. JT the Brick, YT. And find out what we're doing there. Bobby's had a hell of a week, too. One more hour to go. Howard Balzer. I spoke to him early in the week. You didn't hear it. He's got a lot to say about Jim Otto. Want to give you that. And we'll get into Max's raise that he's getting, which is good. Some NBA basketball. And then we got Memorial Day weekend. Be safe.